the show today, I've got the data queen herself in the house. Vanessa Williams is here from realestate.co.nz to unpack all the information on property. Welcome to Property Matters. Welcome along to another Monday. Can you believe we are getting so close to that Christmas countdown? I'm absolutely delighted to welcome back a guest that actually it was last Christmas that we were counting down with you. I can't believe it's been a year. Welcome back, Vanessa.
Thank you so much for having me back. I always love this podcast. We've got so much to chat about and it's been a year.
It's been a year. Have you had a good year?
I have had a good year, actually. Thank you for asking. Yeah, it has been. I know there's been a lot of trials and tribulations out there for a lot of people as well, and for very understandable reasons as well. But me personally, I've had a good year, yes.
Right. So when you think about realestate.co.nz, looking back, tell me what have been some of the highlights, the challenges, the moments that you're going to look back on?
What I love about this year, and it would be crazy of me to not start a podcast without mentioning the AI word, wouldn't it? I think what's been really interesting for me personally, and I'll start there and then chat about real estate a little bit in a moment, is that how I search for things has changed so much in such a short period of time, and I'm not even the most technologically savvy person in the office, you know. I was thinking even 2 weeks ago, I turned on the, you know, you push the button, you can just chat to your ChatGPT with your voice. Oh my goodness, that's it. Now I'm having full-on conversations with him, and every time I get in the car, like, mine's called Lumi. So Lumi, what's up? You know, far out. And I even think how much that behaviour of mine has changed. And as I said, not super tech savvy, but yeah, that's been fascinating. So therefore, when you look at how consumers are searching for property, what that means for them, what they're looking for, you know, even the fact that one Google search find 2-bedroom rental properties in Mount Albert has changed to, hi, can you please help me find a 2-bedroom home? I want a bit more back garden. I would like something that's fully fenced. And, you know, and so there's more of a conversation that happens now when people are searching. And so that's been what I would say is quite a challenge from a technical...
I was going to say, is that a highlight and a challenge?
Yes, absolutely. It's a highlight because I think it's great that we are having to be smarter with the way in which we serve our content for consumers, and a highlight because consumers are now able to find what they're looking for faster, but then keeping up and being able to build that from a technology perspective is where that challenge lies, because wow, you start building something, then all of a sudden it's changed again, and it's changed again, and it's changed again. But look, I think it's creating such a great opportunity for us and the wider market.
When you look back at innovations you've had to make this year, is AI part of all of those, or do you, are there still things that you don't actually know, it doesn't quite sit in this space yet?
I think we try at real estate to find the problem, then find the best way to solve it. One thing I would say is that sometimes, or things that I've heard, and you look at even case studies globally, where people have gone, right, we're going to get rid of all admin staff in our business and use AI, and actually have gone, have to go back to humans because the technology is not quite there as well as we thought it perhaps might have been. I know we talked earlier about the lovely hallucinations that sort of seem to happen randomly with our good AI friends. So I think when you boil it down, you've got to come back to what is the problem that we're trying to solve and what is the best way to do that. We had actually a company come in the other day who was telling us, it was like a data solving kind of, they kind of framed it as AI, but I'm sort of like, I'm not sure it's entirely AI, but I'm also not the technology person. But it was €70,000 a year. And I went, well, hold up. Could I hire someone for that number? They could spend a couple of days a week doing that. And then I've got a whole person for 3 days a week that could do other stuff that we needed in our business, you know. And, like, how clever is that technology that we couldn't put someone, a person on it for 2 days a week, as an example?
Yeah.
So it's about what's actually the problem that we're trying to solve. Financially, does it stack? And then go, well, actually, let's solve the problem first rather than just jump straight to it being a technology solution or specifically an AI solution? Because I do think there's a little bit that learning has come, I would say, probably more so globally, and I, you know, you want to make sure that New Zealand learns from the global trends. Is don't just jump on, let's get an AI to solve it, when actually was that the best way to solve the problem?
Absolutely. When you look back at our year, and I guess you're, and I introduced you as the data queen, because you are, you know, where did the data sit this year for everyone, and was there any sort of regional standouts for you?
There has been a few regional standouts. What I have found super interesting is that, just rewind a little bit back to our super busy, crazy peak of the market back in 2021, when we had, just for a bit of context, we had 12,250 homes available right across New Zealand for consumers or Kiwis to purchase, right? That's every single house possibly on the market, 12,250. For a population of 5 million, right? So that's when, as you can probably well imagine, the law of economics states that when supply is down and demand is up, prices are at the top. So that's when our national average asking price in New Zealand was $1 million. Now, that was the bottom of our supply number. And we saw that basically, that was in August 2021. We saw it rise. And you sort of go, okay, well, where's the top of that? So we actually hit the top of that this March, and we got to just shy of 37,000 homes. So well over three times what that bottom of the market was. So you can, as we can all imagine, we're in a much slower market, things taking more time. Property is still selling, don't get me wrong, but it's, you know, a sort of cooler market. People are taking their time. And then that top of the market being March, we started to see, I started to chip away at that number again. It got down to 35,000, then 32,000, then 30,000. And interestingly, in preparation for this chat this afternoon, I was like, I wonder what's kind of happened since we've had a spring rush, right? Because we had a very healthy number of new listings come onto the market in October. I haven't seen November's numbers yet because we haven't finished November, but I'm starting to see a lot more open home signs around. I'm starting to see a lot more for sale signs. And I looked this morning and we were up around 36,000 homes back to that sort of peak of homes. So it's been a very interesting kind of area for the property market. I do think there was sort of probably a hope that those OCR rates had dropped enough to kick people into gear. Do I think people are waiting for Wednesday's announcement? I absolutely do, as I stand here myself, or sit here myself. Vanessa, hi, Vanessa. I'm waiting for an OCR announcement this week before I fix my mortgages.
Any predictions?
I'm picking 0.25. I am. I think we've got a bit of a challenge with inflation technically out of its box, which makes me very nervous. Will it stay stable? Maybe. I mean, there is still some people saying perhaps it's 0.5, but my honest prediction is 0.25. But I think that what had happened is, I think the sort of the Reserve Bank or the government had thought that those changes this year would have kicked people's transactions into gear, which we haven't necessarily seen the same as. And so, sorry, we haven't necessarily seen that come to fruition just yet. Standout regions for me? Well, I mean, it would be remiss of me not to talk about Central Otago Lakes. Mm-hmm. They just hit 1.65 million. I'm just going to say that again.
Wow.
1.65 million average in that area. They seem to be, it's really interesting, they seem to be this almost little microcosm climate that's sort of immune to all of the economic challenges that the rest of the country's facing. And I'm baffled. I was actually had a call with a reporter just earlier today, actually, talking about this very substandard two-bedroom home that had just sold, the CB was 2 million, just sold for 4 million.
Oh my goodness. Two-bedroom.
Right on the lake Wakasipu, like it's a once in a lifetime opportunity. So you're buying the land. That's all you're buying. $4 million worth of land right there. But you know, it just seems that it's a little microcosm that just seems to be immune to all the economic challenges the rest of us are all facing.
I'd love to know what they originally paid for it.
I'm thinking like, yeah,
what a 20, delight.
30, 40 grand or something.
Yeah.
Like in the 80s or 70s or something. So yeah.
And you noticed we were talking before the show about something that happened in quarter three this year.
Yes, so quite, as you well know, that vendors come onto the market and they have a price expectation around what they think their property is worth. And then as the campaign rolls on, perhaps those expectations get a little bit reset, shall we say, because, hey, look, a market doesn't exist if a buyer and a seller don't come together. And so if we've got sellers that are expecting more than the market is willing to pay, they have to readjust their prices. And so actually, interestingly, in quarter three, so July, August and September this year, we wrapped up all the numbers. There was $72 million dropped out of the property market. With vendors having to reset expectations on what that home really is worth. And what I will say, though, because I know you're all asking me, well, what happened this time last year, Vanessa? It was $100 million, just shy of $100 million dropped out in quarter three last year. So I think vendors are starting to come to terms with we're not in 2021 anymore. You know, you hear this and the sales agents out there listening will know the old adage, yeah, but in 2021, my house was worth. And it's like, yeah, but we're not there anymore. We're in 2025, soon to be 2026. We need to meet the market if we want to get the deal done. So I think that we've got some confidence back in the market. Vendors are feeling a little bit more open to having those realistic expectations or realistic conversations with their real estate agents and making sure that we're, meeting the market.
Any other surprises from the year of data?
I would say I was also surprised this year, maybe it's a flow on from the Central Otago Lakes piece, but Southland actually saw, they sort of bucked the trend, but I'd say in a much more sustainable manner. So this jump in Central Otago Lakes going from, call it 1.2 to 1.3 to 1.4 to 1.5 to 1.6, 1.6 and a half, that to me is unsustainable growth. Mm. So it will hit a peak. When? Not entirely sure. I thought it would have been sooner than now, but hey, I'm always wanting to be proven wrong. But Southland's actually, while the rest of the country's been remaining pretty flat, really, Southland has actually had a nice, stable amount of growth. There's quite a lot of new builds that are happening in Invercargill specifically, and there is quite a bit of activity still happening down there. So they have had a couple of record all-time highs this year over coming months. But again, it's more sustainable increases, 1, 2, 3% coming in at that $450,000, $480,000, $500,000 mark as an average in that region. But, you know, there's only 2 hours south of Queenstown. Not that far.
Go Southland. look, we have a lot of investors that listen to the show. Did you see sort of certain parts of New Zealand where, I guess, investors are getting more bang for their buck to purchase it and rent it out?
Yeah, I would say that for the longest time, Christchurch has been a very impressive investor market. There has been a lot of new builds coming off the back of the challenging situation they've had over the last years. They've had this real opening up of land. There was an influx of building infrastructure that was put in place, and that influx of supply or that ability to rally around and get a whole bunch of houses built over a sustainable sort of period has meant that there have been, well, they've had the opportunity to rebuild their city and therefore kind of make it rental friendly.
Yeah.
And which is great, I think. And so that's definitely seen. Again, I would say it was a little bit more immune to the highs and lows that we saw across the rest of the districts, rest of the regions in New Zealand. The Christchurch market has remained relatively stable and just, again, sustainable growth, but definitely an investor market down there.
From a renter's perspective, the universities in Christchurch and Canterbury have really upped their game too. A lot of their marketing recently, you can see they're really playing to the, not just sort of the straight out of schoolers, but the young adults looking for a career move, or they've had the gap year or two, which make great renters.
Oh,
you know, because they've got the part-time job, they're studying, they're going to be around for several years, they're steady tenants. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, another good reason in that space.
No, I do agree, and they're getting that new beautiful new big stadium down there.
True.
So we're going to see probably a few more concerts. And
massive adventure park being built.
Yeah,
interesting. Interesting that you say Christchurch. What about first home buyers? Does your data sort of give us any tips or tricks if you're a first home buyer?
First home buyers have been very active for quite a while now. Now, what? So you think about the type of homes that typically first home buyers will go after is usually those that are also the same as investors. They're sort of more in that lower end of the market. They're usually based around things like really good public transport hubs or easy walkable situations. And so with the changes that have been happening over the last few years now, up until about middle of last year, there was a lot of legislative changes that really stifled that demand from investors. So we had the change in interest deductibility, we had the bright line test right up to 10 years at one point, and there was the LVRs, the loan to value ratios being quite high for investors. Now that, so that what that meant was that first home buyers were able to get a leg up because they weren't necessarily competing with investors in that market. Now, interestingly, a lot of those legislations actually changed when National came into power, almost 3 years ago now, but it's let that go. But give or take, got 6 months under the desk before the sort of the changes were made and the bright line test dropped and the interest deductibilities kind of got back into the fold. And I thought that that would have hamstrung first home buyers, but that has not actually been the case. I still wonder if there's an element of challenges around people nervous about what's going to happen with the unemployment rate. So if you are looking to perhaps leverage yourself with more properties, is that sort of, are you thinking twice about that? As opposed to if you are a first home buyer, you've actually got this pretty sound nest egg. You would have seen the benefit of those high interest rates, you know, that's really helped you along with those savings. And I would say, look, I wouldn't say that there's one market for first home buyers. I think that there is plenty of opportunities right across New Zealand. It's just getting really clear on what is it that's important to you and what do you want your financial goals or what's right for your family with the decisions that you are making. Mm. Have you heard the term rentvestors?
Yeah.
I didn't even know I was one of those until just recently, actually. My own personal first home wasn't one that I could live in because I was in Auckland and couldn't afford to buy in Auckland at the time. And, you know, I find that, you know, we're so creative, Kiwis, with how we solve our problems, full stop. And I don't think property is shy on that. And so, yeah, I think that there's definitely plenty of opportunities in the market, especially now with, as we were saying, 37,000 homes available. There is a plenty of kind of the first home buyer and or investor options out there, but they are kind of scattered right across the country.
Yeah, and we've had, you know, financial experts, mortgage brokers, etc. on here all say, you know, your first home doesn't have to be the one you live in. Purchase out of Auckland, build that credit history too, build that relationship up with your bank or your lending supplier to then make it easier to get one in your bigger city.
Yeah.
When we think of the big cities, obviously, we talked a little bit about Christchurch, but where have they sat this year, your Auckland, Wellington and Dunedin in the mix?
Yeah, Wellington's been hit really quite hard. I think whether you're looking at this for sale market or the rental market, there's a lot of, a bit of a glut of rental properties down in that market and investors kind of sort of struggling to rent them out. I know there's been a little bit of, should we say, incentives for tenants to perhaps come in, people paying broadband bills and the like. But again, you know, you've got to be mindful that it's not too media inflated. There's certainly great rentals in Wellington that are absolutely being snapped up because there are people that go to university down there. I think the changes in government has hindered the Wellington market a wee bit. That, to give you context, at the peak was sitting around an average asking price of $1 million. That's back down to around $850. So give or take a 15% drop from the peak. And then if you fast forward up the country to Auckland market, that's probably been hit quite a bit harder. So at the peak of the market was around about 1.25 million. And we've seen that drop back just this month to 1,030,000. So we're more looking on that sort of 20%. Well, it's actually more than 20%, isn't it? Quick maths. Not my strong suit. But it's certainly, you know, we've sort of, that average has really been kind of pulled down in order for people to get the transactions happening. So, yeah, it's been a bit of a mixed bag, as I said out there. You've got the likes of Queenstown. Because when you think about that, Queenstown and Auckland, 5 years ago, they used to dance for the top spot together. It'd be 1 month, it'd be Queenstown, or so I should say Central Otago Lakes District, and then 1 month it would be Auckland, and they'd switch around. And now you think one's at a million. million 30 and one's at 1.65 million. Isn't that crazy? I wish I had bought a house.
Well, especially because people working there are struggling to find a rental property. You know, the hospitality industry having to put their own up in their own complexes in order to have staff.
Mm.
So, yeah, the prices are high, but the rentals are not available. It's not an investor's market, unfortunately.
No, I think they are trying to build a whole bunch of more investment-type properties down there. It's just because it's such a remote kind of location as well. Getting the building materials in is more expensive, and then if you're going to have a house that's, let's say, 700 to 800 grand to buy, you know, the cost of actually getting the materials in is quite, you know, so it's a hard market to increase the supply of. I know that there's quite a few building kind of areas that are looking to sort of, you know, increase the supply down there, but it is a bit more challenging than it is, you know, in areas that are easier to get the materials to.
What about the rental market? What have you seen data-wise in the rental space this year?
Yeah, the rental space, I mean, if you are renting, it's actually now a really good time to be a renter. You know, I think we've probably heard the stories of the last few years around 30, 40, 50 people lining up at rental properties, you know, not getting answers that they need or not finding ways to have a home. But this year's bid has changed a wee bit. And from what I can understand, and you might know more about this, is there's been a kind of a few elements on that. Demand has decreased a wee bit because we've got more young people going overseas than we sort of have in previous years. We have got more people actually staying at home, and those people who would, that sort of generation who would ordinarily, right, I'm 18, I'm out of home, they're kind of going, no, I think I might stay at home. Case in point, I've got a 20-year-old at home. And we've also got, we had come sort of January, February last year when the current government was about to change all the rules. There was a kind of a retraction of stock come off the rental market to get ready for sale, thinking that July 1 last year was, I'm going to put my house on the market because the Brightline test changed. But the reality of the market, because the for sale market's back so far, call it 15% of that $1 million, then there's a lot of investors who are going, actually, I haven't really made the money that I want to make off this. Let me put my property back onto the market, onto the rental market. And with that reduction in demand, that increase in supply, you start to see more properties than people looking for them.
Do you think the cost of living's played a part too, that people are not moving as often as they used to as well? Because, you know, you've got to come up with 4 to 6 weeks rent, bond, etc. in advance. Is that playing a part?
I do think so. I mean, the fact that power is up 11%. 11%. Like, there's not a way to combat that. It's not like you can stop using power, you know. I mean, turn a few more lights off, but you're not going to combat that increase. And you look down the aisles of the supermarkets and, wow, it's tough out there, you know. So I do agree with you. I think if people are going, I'm not as happy as I could be, but the reality of it is the cost to move right now is just not an expense that I want to be able to, you know, succumb to it. Not only right now, but you're coming into Christmas time, right? Christmas time is an expensive time again for a lot of people, as if it's been a tough year. I know unemployment being up around well over 5%, that will be hurting people, and I think also making people a bit nervous. So while they might have a job now, what will that mean if I don't have a job? So do we make a change now, or do we actually just sit and wait? And I sort of think about that a little bit, and we have become a little bit a nation of waiters this year. not the kind who bring you over a steak and a glass of red wine, but we're waiting for OCR changes, we're waiting to see what happens with unemployment, we're kind of waiting to see, well, I'm not probably going to spend that money just yet, because if something does happen, I want to make sure I've got enough in there to kind of keep me going. So no, I would agree with you, Stephen. I think the cost of living has really hurt a lot of people in many different ways.
Okay, get the crystal ball out.
Dust
it off. It's that time of year. What is 2026 going to look like for us?
I think we're still going to see probably a little bit more of what we're seeing at the moment. I would say we will continue to see average asking prices remain stable. We're almost on, December will be 3 years of average asking prices around 850, 860. So that is a very flat market. And to be honest, if you want to take inflation into account, is technically backwards because we haven't been growing.
Mm.
So I think we will continue to see that into the first half of next year. Now, had you have asked me, if you had asked me 6 weeks ago when we were continuing to see that drop in stock around 2,000 listings per month, I would have said, you get us to around 26,000, 25,000, we'll start to see prices start to move again. But the fact that checking in this morning and we're back at 36,000, that tells me that that big, beautiful influx of wonderful spring homes isn't moving as quick as it's coming onto the market. And so, again, if we've got more supply than demand, prices are going to remain stable. Do I think we're at the bottom? I would say we are. We've been here for 3 years. I can't see it going too much lower. I think we've kind of reached that equilibrium of going, people just accept that that's about what a house costs.
Yeah.
So I think that that will remain stable. But the indicators that I'm looking for is I want to see when unemployment starts to come under, especially under that 5%, and also when our total stock of homes available on the market is around that, certainly under 28,000, more so 25,000 is when I think we'll start to see a bit more movement.
Now, election year ahead, do you predict that that's going to alter things, or if we go back in time, did the last one have a significant impact, or is that more a sort of a slow, gentle burn over the 3 years?
Yeah, how do those elections come around so quickly?
I know.
Thought we were just talking about it. We're here again. It's a short cycle. We won't go into that. Look, honestly, Kiwis, and totally understandably, like to transact the biggest investment of their life under as much certainty as they can do. And the election years create more uncertainty. So I do think that's going to add to more of that waiting, more of that kind of, let's just see what happens. And look, to be honest, the outcome of the election doesn't matter. It's the fact that there is one that Kiwis kind of sit on their hands and go, okay, well, hold up, let me just wait and see what's going to happen here. Despite, it doesn't matter what the outcome is.
Yeah,
they will carry on afterwards.
Yeah.
So whatever way it turns or doesn't turn, it's just that, it's kind of almost like these OCR. I kind of wonder if, you know, we talk about it a lot at realestate.co.nz, all the OCRs coming up. I wonder if that's almost hindering us because the fact that, like, well, I'll just wait and see.
There's always something we could wait for, though.
Yeah. And I agree. And that's why I mean this year feels like we've been a year of waiters.
Yeah, interesting. All right, let's move away from the data now and talk about real estate and the advertising space. Now, on both your platform and others, what new trends are you seeing? Is social media still up there? Is that number one way of transacting or getting that property in front of people? Where are we at?
So I absolutely think social media plays a huge part in that top of the funnel. Sorry to use a very marketing term, but the more you can tip into the top of the funnel, the more that's going to come out the bottom. And so where do I think real estate agents and vendors are using it smartly? I think they are using humor, they're using education, they're making very social first videos. And by that I mean not polished, not lots of lights, you know, not the microphone that's, you know, discreet. It's very much in the face now. And I think that there are some really smart real estate agents out there utilizing social media and understand the power of putting people in the top of the funnel. What we are seeing is that now more than ever, there is a lot of trust issues probably. And I think the biggest brand problem that AI has got is what do I trust anymore?
Right.
Like, what is true? You know, you start, my darling, delicious mother sent me this video just yesterday, actually, about there was a man standing and he had this eagle on his shoulders, right? And she was going, oh my gosh, Vanessa, look at this. Can you believe how tame this eagle is? And I was thinking, oh, mum hasn't worked out that that's AI.
Yeah.
You know, and then, of course, I shared that with her. And then, so then I've given 15 reels. Is this AI? Is this AI? Is this AI? Bless her. And so, but again, it's like, so that trust piece is now needed more than ever. And I think is going to continue to be a huge, sort of like the number one thing on people's minds. So what I would say is that the benefit of real estate agents out there with their faces that you can trust because they're on the billboard up the road, they're on the pointer signs, they're on the for sale signs, they're on realestate.co.nz, and that I feel has a real power in the brand.
And use your real face, not an AI clone or avatar. Starting to see a bit of that popping up.
Yes.
Do you think the things agents or property managers can do to make sure the adverts are picked up by AI when someone does type that, find me a two-bedroom home close to such and such school and things, is there certain wording that we need to be really focused on so AI's grabbing it?
Absolutely. I would say what I love about AI, right, it's a great place to start. And I don't think we should be scared of it. I think we should embrace it, but you should be fully transparent. So if you are going to use AI, as an example, if you've got a rental property and the investor has no money to stage it, I'm not saying don't pop it into, take your pictures as you would do, pop it into an AI image generator and go, you know, populate this with very basic furniture suited for a married couple with a child, you know. But please just put on the bottom right-hand corner, this image was generated by AI. Mm. Just be totally transparent. People are going to trust you more if you are more, if you're going to use it, you want to market that property well, right? And so use the tools to do so, but be fully transparent. What I would say with your property descriptions, sure, start with AI, absolutely, but put your human flavor across it. Because actually what's happening is now, there is more content than there's ever been before, but humans don't actually engage with AI content. So AI robots aren't finding AI content because it's just robots talking to robots.
Right.
So what I would say is if you're writing your property description, imagine what a human would be asking to try and find this property. So if you have got, think about if you were searching for this property, if you wanted to look for the property that you had to market, write that in your description. I'm not saying don't use ChatGPT or Claude or Copilot to start, but absolutely, and make sure you know, prompt in, rubbish out, so make sure your prompts are really strong. But please, 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 do your DD and make sure that there's a human that actually pushes send on it and actually put your own little zhuzh in there as well. There's nothing worse than I've seen it, and you probably have seen it too. There's an Instagram post and it's like, there's the Instagram post and it either says, is this suffice or would you like me to add it for Facebook? You know, and they put that in their post on Instagram or something, you know, and you think, come on, just read it. I think, utilize the tools, but remember that the AI bots are finding content for humans and the humans want human contact. I would also say remember that the biggest asset you've got at the moment, especially in this world, is trust, and build that brand around trust, because more and more so you want people to be able to trust who you are and what you're doing and your expertise. So that, I think, is what, you know, ourselves and other platforms actually have and that's helping, is the trust and the longevity of the brands that we've got.
Is there anything else from a agent point of view directly with your website that they can do to really pump it and make it stand out specifically to your site?
We have the opportunity to upgrade all the listings, and I mean you can't sell or you can't rent a secret, right? And I truly believe this is that if you want to get a bargain of a house, go and find something that's poorly marketed, you know, we spend so much time, energy and effort on these beautiful homes, and then we're arguing about spending $5,000 or $7,000, and it's like, really? Mm. You want to, you know, the average asking price in New Zealand is $850,000, and you're really going to argue with your real estate agent about a $5,000 marketing schedule. The other thing I would say is, if you've got a rental property, this is your investment, this is your business. Take the time and invest in some really nice photos. Think about making your home stand out. There's a glut of properties on the market now. And I get embarrassed for the rental section of our site. And I go, why are we not pushing harder for our investors to go, this is your business. We need to, I'm not saying that every time, but you know, sure, get and work with there'll be a photographer in your office. You can go, look, if you're doing one, can I get a rental property done at the same time? I'll go halves with my investor because I want to look like the property manager that is really doing my investors justice of their properties. So I really, really encourage, if you're a property manager out there, think about it more so than, oh, well, I can just do it with my iPhone and I'll just turn the lights on inside. There is so much more to be done. These are people's businesses and they're entrusting you with their investments, right? And you want to attract tenants that you want to stay in there. People are going to, higher quality tenants are going to be attracted to those high quality images that they're willing to pay a bit more for if they know they're getting a really good home. So I just think, you know, do yourself a favor and think about, you are the expert. We're trusting you, whether you're a sales agent, a property management, a commercial, leasing, selling, business selling, you know, really, you can't sell a secret, and do it well. That's your brand. That listing is your brand. If you go on today, look on realestate.co.nz, look at all your listings and go, would I be proud that that's my brand?
Yeah. Oh, I love your passion.
Sorry.
My marketing team will tell me off because they've just told me that we need to have these sessions live streamed and videoed, and I didn't set it up in time, because if they had caught that answer on camera, they would have been gold moments, Stephen. So sorry, Olivia, you can tell me off tomorrow. Look, to wrap the show, let's just talk a little bit about your job.
Yeah.
What is it? What does a typical day look like for you?
Oh, wow. There's no typical day in my world, I promise you that. What do? I do everything from, probably my most important job is I look after my team, because if my team are happy, they look after our customers, and then our customers are happy. So I do make sure I make time for them. That's probably my number one priority. And so therefore they have the accountability and they have the ability to solve our clients and our customers' problems, and that's really important. I do podcasts, I do radio interviews, I wrote a piece for the Sunday Star Times this week, thanks to our lovely PR team. I do client meetings. I love going and presenting to, I walk into Barfoot and Thompson offices and I do presentations to them, and I love that. I have got a lot of celebratory lunches coming up, which I'm not ashamed to say
season.
I love.
Yeah.
And I do budgets, I do risk registers, you know, and I love it all. I have this beautiful role where I have an amazing team in a wonderful industry. And I actually get the benefit of being in three different industries. People don't quite think about this, but I'm in the real estate industry because my beautiful clients are real estate agents, property managers, commercial, leasing, selling, rural agents. I work in the e-commerce business because we are a website that has to transact consumers into actions. But I'm also in the media industry because I've got advert space that Tower or ASB or BNZ want to get their brand in front of those amazing property seekers that hang out on our platform. So I know I've been here almost 11 years, Stephen, and it's because I'm in so many blooming industries.
Well, we appreciate all your media releases that I often read out at the start of the show. So thank you for keeping us all informed. We've only got a minute. Tell me, what's 2026 looking like for realestate.co.nz? Anything special on the horizon?
We're working towards the best way that we can get all of your listings out in the way that consumers are going to search. I don't know quite what that looks like just yet because it is moving so fast, the way that consumers search, but I'm really excited that we have got a team that are up for the challenge, that are continuing to find ways to promote those listings in the ways that consumers are trying to find them. And I think that's going to be an interesting space to play, grow in, and just change as it changes, because, wow, it's moving fast.
Are you finding more and more consumers on their cell phone and app versus the website these days, or is it still a mix?
Still a mix, because I think, again, properties, people want a big big view of
don't they? And you sit with your partner and have a look.
Yep.
Okay.
Absolutely. So they still want those big, beautiful images.
Brilliant. Annual question, Christmas plans, what's happening?
Oh, I'm excited for Christmas this year. We are in Auckland this year. We just sort of rotate around every 4 years, and this year we're in Auckland. So might do a couple of day trips, have a staycation, might paint something, just because, you know, it feels rude not to. There's probably a fence out there I can get amongst. But yeah, it'll be a good year, celebrating with the kids, with my husband, with the family, and yeah, just getting ready for 2026. How did that come about so quickly?
Incredible. Well, it's this year that if you watch Back to the Future, back in the day, he arrived in November 2025 was his future date.
Yep.
So we are all officially well and truly in the future. Thanks so much for coming on. How can people get in touch with you in real estate?
Head to the website. You're very welcome to email me, Vanessa@realestate.co.nz. It's very easy to remember, but hey, look, go searching. Don't scroll TikTok. Scroll realestate.co.nz and you'll feel way happier afterwards.
Love it. Thank you so much for our regular check-in. Hopefully it won't be a whole year before we catch up again, but really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you to everyone listening. You've been awesome.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. If you're listening live, travel safe on your way home. If you've downloaded our podcast, remember you can get them from all your favourite podcast sites. If you've got something you'd like us to talk about, email us propertymatters@barfoot.co.nz. Have a great rest of your Monday and a good week ahead. Catch you next week.